The lights are out in downtown. Well, some of them. Some of the traffic lights are out downtown. And I got off at East 9th, at the East 9th exit at Ontario, Carnegie. Carnegie is what, I get them mixed up. You think I listened to the man for 30 years and I would know which one's
well,
which.
There's
and
corners.
But I get them mixed up. Yeah, I know the corner.
He never talks about right field.
Yeah, he doesn't know where they go to.
You call it Carnegie? I've never heard you say that before.
Carnegie?
Not Carnegie?
Carnegie?
This is a big difference between New Yorkers and Clevelanders on this.
There's a hall or a road.
Yeah. You're saying it the New York way.
I'm just always, sorry, I get some, I'm in heaven. I guess I just always call it that way. Hey, ooh, hey, I'm driving on East 90. Hey. Cabagula, hey. What? I didn't know. Anyway, lights are out at the corner of Carnegie and East 9th, and then a little bit further down at Prospect and East 9th.
It looked like it was all the way to Superior.
Oh.
Euclid was out, too.
So the traffic lights are out.
I imagine that crew that's working on it on the northwest side of that intersection.
So be careful as you come downtown, but I had an observation. I slowed down at East 9th and kind of did the look both ways. Are some people just treating it as like a figure eight at Painesville Speedway, and that's just what it is? And if you go through and you get T-bone, well, them's the brakes.
Yeah, I don't.
Because somebody went flying right past me.
Yeah, same thing. I saw two cars fly by while I was stopped. They passed me right up.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I even bother giving them the horn? What's the point at this stage?
I don't know. You don't
horn. It's this early. It's downtown Cleveland.
I saw Unhinged the other day, and I'm never honking at anybody ever again.
Yeah, what do I get out of it? What, never am I again. Teaching them some lesson? They're already, I'm way in their rear view. They don't even know.
They don't even hear you.
They probably don't even hear me. They're
got
blasting
their music. Yeah.
So I think this is one area of life that we have not evolved as a human race. I don't think people are any better today at this, navigating what should be a four-way stop, than they were 20 years ago.
No. It's the same thing with roundabouts. They make roundabouts, and I'm like, these aren't hard to negotiate.
I love roundabouts.
They are That is a controversial take.
When I see a roundabout, it's freedom. It separates the haves from the have-nots.
Thank you.
The knowers from the unknowers.
I totally agree. Thank you so much.
And when they're two lane.
Thank you so much. I never agree with you more.
A two-lane roundabout.
Yeah.
Oh, inject it, Kenny, into my proverbial...
You got the perv, and I didn't know where you were going with that.
My veins.
In North Ridgeville, did you see they have like a double roundabout? It has like different curves in it and stuff. Yeah, they're putting one in. North Ridgeville is like the king of roundabouts now, the home of the roundabout.
They have one further down on 83. It's amazing.
Really? Roundabouts are
like
the cat's
ass. It's like
you're
doing the slaloms.
Yep, I love a roundabout. They got one big one just outside of like Talmadge where it's like five different ROADs off of one, and it's outstanding, and I love to navigate it every time I have to go through there. Sometimes I have to go to like Chapel Hill and stuff like that.
They need to do downtown then. Get rid of the lights all around.
All
be known as the Roundabout City.
Don't they have that one in D.C. you talked about when you lived in Georgetown?
First of all, D.C. is all roundabouts, but then they complicate it even further because they are elevated, so you can go under them, you can go around them, or you could go over them.
But aren't they like really big, like wide roundabouts? So it's like if you miss it, it's like see you in 30 minutes.
It can be really hard, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's tough. That might be tough. Everything else, I love a roundabout. But yeah, be careful.
No show talks grids. Talks downtown grids like we do.
Yeah, we talk about it. We care about infrastructure on this show. But be careful because if you slow down, some people around you just might not. It's
Brooke
Park. Pitt Road in the 80s. What?
But when they build that stadium and we are obsessed with ingress and egress, we're obsessed. We cannot get enough of it. I want that entire facility to be roundabouted the right way. Let's truly make it, especially with the airport right next door.
Yeah.
Come on.
Of course.
They better get on this now.
I wanted to. Now I have to try to sell you on something.
Go ahead.
Did you see that the Browns are suing the city?
I did.
And you said what?
They should take this to People's Court, where I can watch this on TV in a very tightly produced half hour. That's what I want. No more, no less. And I need a bailiff that gives a good soundbite. That's all part of it.
That one got me. Judge Judy.
Yes. Well, no, what's the one we watch sometimes with
hot
the three?
Bench. Oh,
yes.
No, they took that off. They put the Drew Barrymore show on now.
Wait a second.
There's no more hot bench.
They replaced the three beautiful judges who may or may not have law degrees.
No, I need one. That's a thing. You need by the way, that is that's reckless. Second of all, I mean maybe
reckless
not.
Reckless speculation.
They let Steve Harvey do a show where he gave real decisions that were binding.
They probably
was called Judge Steve Harvey.
Elevated him to the role of judge, and I don't even think he went to night school.
Yeah.
I don't think he did any of that.
You're probably right about that. They probably just decided that there's real lawyers that make these binding arguments, and then they'll put Steve Harvey out there, and whatever he judges, you agreed to it.
That's it.
They got this show called Hot Bench, and there's three people. I'm like, I don't like a tribunal. Give me one person up there, trading barbs, zingers, the whole thing. The one I can't mention anymore, right? He got in hot water. I always used to reference him instead of Judge Judy, and someone's like, Ken, don't reference him anymore. He got in a lot of trouble. I was like, okay, never mind.
I thought you were talking about divorce court, which the Limas watched a lot of growing up because it was applicable to our home life. I was really good about being able to project alimony. I had an innate sense. Oh, I know exactly what that's going to be per month. Garnishing of wages, I understand. I'm 10 years old.
That'd be great if you just had... Who would it be? Would it be Mayor Bibb? You'd have to put Brian Casey out there.
Oh, he's got
to
be involved
somehow. Because he looks like one of the plaintiffs or defendants that you would see on Judge Judy.
Yeah.
And so you would put him there, and then you would pick which haslam ever you would want to, and then you could figure it out from there.
Didn't Kucinich get involved?
Would you put
all
Dave Jenkins up there when he did it?
Oh, God,
Kucinich?
Could you imagine Jenkins in a podium right next to Kucinich?
They have to put Dennis Kucinich up on a box.
Yes, they would.
Dave is a very tall guy. So I've read over this a bunch of times. So the Browns have filed a lawsuit basically seeking clarity about all this. Guys, I'm looking up. I am section 9.67.
Don't just start reading.
Yeah. Oh, this is where my morning is gone. I went from watching the beginning of Trailer Park Boys Countdown to Liquor Day to find a line to write on Facebook to section 9.67 of Ohio Revised Code. This is, Ken, why are you nuts? I guess that's where we go from. Do I want to read the whole thing?
Get to it.
It's only three paragraphs.
Get to it.
The song ends in 28 seconds.
Okay.
So. Is this the Kathy Bates version?
Here we go. Well, if you keep talking, I'm going to run out of music. No owner of a professional sports team that uses a tax-supported facility for most of its home games and receives financial assistance from the state or a political subdivision thereof shall cease playing most of its home games at the facility and begin playing most of its home games elsewhere unless the owner either A, enters into an agreement with the political subdivision permitting the team to play most of its home game elsewhere, B, gives the political subdivision in which the facility is located not less than 6 months advance notice of the owner's intention to cease playing most of its home games at the facility, and during the 6 months after such notice, gives the political subdivision or any individual or group of individuals who reside in the area of the area the opportunity to purchase the team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, and there's no more et cetera, et cetera in there. That's it. That's the only thing. There's available versions of the section. There's a June 20th, 1996 version that I've clicked on, and takes me back to the original. So that this is it. This is June 20th, 1996. And basically, it's like, I feel that the Browns are looking for clarity because it's like, well, it says 6 months. We're giving you 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
And so what would be your takeaway, your read on that? Because a lot of people...
More hot air from the city.
Well, I keep seeing Daryl. Daryl is the one that... He is expressly.
Daryl's a bulldog.
He's expressly stated. He's going over this with a fine tooth comb, and he's like, "What are you talking about, City of Cleveland?" That's how he begins all his conversations with the City of Cleveland. And he says, according to the people he talked to, and he's pretty dialed in on this stuff.
Should go up there and shoot a video of him just yelling at Moses Cleveland statue.
he's basically like, the city has no leg to stand on here, based on the people he's talking to and the reporting he's done.
Because they really, I mean, they don't.
So we're going to waste everybody's time with this?
Yeah, we're going to.
I mean, look, if...
we're going to.
Is this something, is this lawsuit... Okay, I was going to say something that would sound very silly if it were any other city.
Well, the lawsuits generate tax dollars. Can I use that?
Yeah, maybe.
Just asking.
Can they tax the billable hours and have it come back to Cuyahoga County?
No.
Mayor Bibb, at least I know his people listen to this show. I'm not sure Mayor Bibb wants to come on the show. We'd love to have him. But is he signing off on this lawsuit?
Because I don't know.
We haven't seen Bibb publicly.
Well, it's not his lawsuit. It's the Browns filing suit for clarification.
But to get to this point, to enforce the Modell law to begin with.
Oh.
Well, the city was going to sue first, and now the Browns are countering.
A preemptive counter?
They just want clarification.
Okay.
Well, based on what
still, and all that you read, Ken, it still doesn't say, here's the bid. We don't accept your bid. Can we just say we don't want your money? Your money is no good here. We're going to keep the team.
Quote, today's action for a declaratory judgment was filed to take this matter out of the political domain and ensure we can move this transformative project forward to make a new domed Huntington Bank Field in Brook Park a reality. Dave Jenkins, CEO of Haviland Sports Group, said in a statement, we have no interest in any contentious legal battle, but are determined to create a project that will add to Greater Cleveland by building a dome stadium and adjacent mixed-use development. This project will bring premier events and economic activity that will generate significant revenue for the city, county, and state. Now, you may speak.
Yeah, I think all of this is just a huge distraction from the reality of what taxpayers and people that live in this region and people that are going to be using what could be a brand new world-class facility in Brook Park, what they all want to know, which is what are the Haslams going to pay? I know what they've said publicly, which is between the mixed-use development and the stadium for they will pay $2.1 billion or such. But the public wants to know, look, we know the public's going to be on the hook for something. Mm. Explain to us how that's going to work. Explain how the money, like Chris Ronayne, the county executor, Chris Ronayne, the executor. We might get to a point where there's executions involved here. I think he was coming out and saying the financing doesn't make sense. Like this, the Haslams need to open up all the books on this and their proposal and explain how exactly Cuyahoga County residents and also the people that come in from all over that are going to be taxed with their admissions tax, parking tax, the bed tax, all that together, what that is going to equate to.
As Lima likes to say, there are many devils and many details, and you will have that.
And I think everybody, well, I should say everybody, because there's still people who want it, on the lakefront, and they're going to get nostalgic about that. But the people who are in support of having the city take a huge step forward, where we're going to get the type of development that we've been craving for years and get a world-class facility and be able to get even more hotels because of that facility, improve on the infrastructure and the public transportation. I think all those people are going to want to know, how much are we on the hook for? How is this going to change our daily lives and explain the taxes to us?
When are they going to talk about the development that's going to replace what is now Huntington Bank Field?
That's
going to
be
like,
years.
Yeah, but it seems that'll like they're in denial right now, Owen, about whether or not they even want
but
that.
But wouldn't that help to kind of smooth some of this out?
Yes.
Well, don't they have to have, they would have to have corporate partners get involved that would have plans to build on that site, that would buy that land and then build on those sites. And
is
they don't
that
have
just
that
crazy talk, or is there actually something to it being developed?
I think this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for everybody involved to get real, real development on the lakefront that we've been clamoring for years.
Somebody told me they have, and this is why I feel that this is very performative here, is somebody had told me that, they got people waiting in the wings to invest. That very rarely this downtown, a city our size, a city like ours, has the real downtown development like that. There's people who are waiting. They're champing at the bit to put more cranes in the air along the lakefront to get rid of the stadium and put something permanent there. That is what I've been told, and I believe that's what Anthony has been told. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not by even city officials, by the way. I have talked to nobody from the city who has said that to me. But they're obviously not going to come out and say, hey, we have this great big transformative thing, because they got to put the Browns through the paces, which
I guess
I think I know why, but I don't want to say publicly yet. I don't want to do that yet.
Will you write it on a piece of paper and slide it over to
me? No, I'll tell you during the break. Like I say, everything else. Yeah, I never saw. Well, now we got cameras in here. I can't write things.
See, cameras ruined everything.
Let's get rid of the technology.
I used to have some crazy drawings I would show you guys. Can't do that anymore. The eye in the sky.
We used to jump it out. We would have a guest come on, bore us. I mean, bore us. And me and Ken would have a field day dancing around, yep, making faces,
drawing things, trying, yes, to make each other laugh.
A lot of doodles. A lot of phallic doodles.
But you know,
can't
what?
Do any of that anymore.
But you know what? Daryl's interviews have gotten much better lately, you know, so what? We don't have
he's
to do that anymore.
He's turned it around, Kenny.
Yep.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
We need to get rid of the Jameis Winston as a backup, yeah, talking about, yep, the starter
fact,
clip.
That was today was the last airing. There's a new one in the works.
Ooh,
that'll be
I like that.
Next Tuesday, said world premiere next Tuesday.
I miss the days of the world premiere.
I'm having Carson Daly come in and
nobody cares anymore.
Do they even make music videos anymore?
Yes, they do.
They do. Yeah.
Yes, they do. Because they do. I watch them with young Isabella. She's been asking for
whose music videos?
She's been asking for Billie Eilish lately.
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
I show my sons Wheeler Walker Jr. Moving on.
Ken Dorsey is your new play caller, ladies and gentlemen. Has it been sorted out whether he'll be up high or down below?
He's going to be the first OC to call from a basement.
A room with no windows, yeah, like all the meteorologists in town. Take that.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. None of them have windows in those rooms. They're all studios.
Know. How can they tell the weather?
Good point.
Do you care if he's up in the booth or down on the field?
Call it from the booth.
Yeah.
You can see the whole field, so call it from the booth.
Well, again, him being in the booth is probably what made him most famous as an offensive
coordinator. Yeah. You put that GoPro right there in the corner.
You gotta have that GoPro. That's right. Just tossing his headset. Imagine what it's going to be like.
Call it from the booth.
These final 10 games.
Well, actually, I'm stalling to get something up here, but he answered on whether he'd call it from the field or in the box.
Still evaluating. You know, I've called it from the box in the preseason this year, called it from the field. So still in the evaluation process right now. To be honest, if I'm leaning one direction, leaning towards being up in the box right now, but, you know, haven't made that decision fully yet.
Okay. Help me out here, Kenny, because you know a lot of coaches, and they are in a comfort zone in everything from what they eat before a game to what is specifically the steps taken at halftime to the elevator. How does he not know where he wants to be? How does he not know where he's most comfortable?
He's different. I don't know, man.
Yeah?
He's an odd duck, a weird bird. Mm. I think he just doesn't want to answer yet, and he wants to keep people guessing.
No. Okay.
It's one more little wrinkle that we can discuss. And then if he calls, see, if he does it from the sideline, see, if he does it from the booth, I think people are just like, if they struggle, he's a bad offensive coordinator. If he calls it from the sideline, then they're like, buddy, you got to go up to the booth. You have to go up to the booth. You have to try that so you can see the whole field.
Yeah.
So start out on the sideline, then move up to the booth.
Yeah, because obviously,
because it's probably not going to go our way.
You can lean on other people for certain things, but you'd like to think the element of processing as soon as possible, and again with the communications, you know, to your quarterback, yeah, the helmet communications. Dorsey was asked whether his new perspective will help fix things.
I feel like I've been able to provide perspective to these guys no matter what my role is. There's not a magic coach or a magic pill, you know, to play better on offense. It's going to be work. It's going to be attention to detail. It's going to be us at the end of the day locking in and fighting.
They downplaying expectations right away. Doesn't matter who calls the plays, even though we make a big deal about it all the time.
Yep. Even though you don't think it's a big deal.
I've never thought it was a big deal. I'm more focused on, is the playbook changing? Like last week, you noticed Deshaun Watson was under center more. Okay, that would seem to be a message that they were going back to the Stefanski system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now Stefanski's not even calling the plays. So you'd think that you'd want your OC and your play caller to be play calling and offensive coordinating that OC's calls, like those plays.
Yeah.
I think part of what we didn't want when Stefanski was calling the plays is him to be calling anybody else's offense. You want Stefanski to be calling his own offense. Well, whose offense is Ken Dorsey going to be calling now?
Is it his offense or is it Ken Dorsey's or is it Kevin Stefanski's offense?
So I mean, it's kind of changed already this season, that offensive look. Did you not think he was under center more and it started to look more like Stefanski last week?
I thought he was under center more against Jacksonville. I thought he was under center more last week. I mean, there's been, I don't know, maybe they tried to mix up too many looks and they got lost while they were trying to find him.
All right, we'll get to more Browns a little bit later on. Meanwhile, rough day for Kyle McCord. There was some Heisman chatter. Some of it was, you know, a little bit early and fun.
A little much.
But he had gotten off to that great start, and Syracuse had a spectacular record. They had one loss going into last night's road game against Pitt. You had this from Andrew Filippone before the game. Pitt fans, this is the man who will break your heart tonight, Kyle McCord, the best pocket quarterback in America. Unfortunately, he will lead the Orange to its first win in Pittsburgh since 2001. He predicted final score, Syracuse 31, Pitt 30. Here's how it actually sounded.
Allen motions out of the backfield. McCord looks left. It's intercepted. Touchdown, Pitt. McCord intercepted. Kyle Lewis.
The different
touchdown,
plays.
Pitt. Well, it's just been that kind of night. Braylon Lovelace.
He threw five interceptions. He threw two pick sixes.
Three pick sixes.
He threw three.
I believe he threw three.
I went to bed before the third pick six,
there
Kenny.
You go.
I'm not even kidding. I did not know he
threw
a third.
You turn back into a pumpkin after the third pick six.
What did Kyle McCord turn into?
It was a bad day.
Kyle McCord?
It's a bad day for Kyle McCord.
He was 35 of 64 because they were buried. They were down so big. They threw on every down. He finished the game.
Nope.
I couldn't even believe he finished the game.
Blame it on Pony. You know how he does it. If you're Kyle McCord, you ought to treat him like Ray Finkel.
There was another.
Don't try to kill him, but other than that, you know.
There was another play where he just backpedaled and fell down with no contact. He wasn't injured.
Yeah,
he just fell down.
It was a terrible, terrible, terrible day.
I'm going to write down the only game that I think is worse from a quarterback perspective that I have ever seen, but I'm not going to say it on the
air.
Why
aren't you going to say it on the air? I know the worst day that's worse from a quarterback perspective. You want me to say it on the air? I'll say it on the air. Oh, God.
I'm not
okay,
saying it
fine.
On the air.
Yeah, don't say it on
it
the air.
It was the worst playoff game I've ever
Can
seen.
Can I just say mine on the air?
Go ahead.
62-7, Dan Marino.
What year
when they
that?
Lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it might have been his last ever NFL
Holy
game.
Holy cow.
I remember my dad was watching it. I went to turn the channel. He goes, we're watching this. I go, what?
62?
I go, Dad, I remember the sprinklers came on. Oh, gosh, who was the play-by-play guy at the time? Legendary voice. It was a playoff game.
Bob
Trumpy. CBS. It was a CBS game. Was it Dick Enberg?
I love Dick Enberg.
It might have been Dick Enberg. But it was like, man, this is a bad day.
I mean, that what I saw last night. I felt bad. Rarely do I feel bad for an athlete for performing very poorly. I felt bad for Kyle McCord last night because it was two pick sixes. And you're like, all right, shake it off. Come on. No, it only went further south for him yesterday. 41-13, they lose. Finally, we're going to play this clip.
Don Crickey.
Don Crickey.
It was Don Crickey. Thank you. Oh, great name.
See, people here
great
only
voice.
Remember, they only remember
bad
the
Don
older
Crickey.
Don Crickey. Yeah. He was awesome. All right, final note. Down eight. Under 2 minutes to go, the Vikings hoping to stage a comeback last night, Thursday night football against the Rams, but this happened in the end zone.
Darnold in the gun, gets the snap, back to pass, 5 yards deep in the end zone, looking under pressure, and he's sacked! It's a safety in the end zone! Byron Young brings him down, and that may be the game! Boy, the Vikings are all screaming and pointing up at the video board, and there is no doubt that Young got a hold of Darnold's face mask and the officials missed it. Even Young, after the sack, he grabbed his helmet like, no, what did I do? He got Darnold initially up kind of around the collar, but then got up into the face mask, but there was no flag. It turns into a sack, and the Rams are up 10.
And the Rams end up winning by 10. Audio courtesy of Westwood One is heard right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. When we come back, We'll react to that because that was very controversial and it was one of the biggest missed calls you will ever see in the NFL.
This play, you might have heard this on Thursday Night Football last night, right here in your home for the NFL, Westwood 1 and 92.3 The Fan. Here's the call.
Darnold in the gun, gets the snap, back to pass, 5 yards deep in the end zone, looking under pressure and he's sacked! It's a safety in the end zone! Byron Young brings him down and that may be the game! Boy, the Vikings are all screaming and pointing up at the video board and there is no doubt that Young got a hold of Darnold's face mask and the officials missed it. Even Young, after the sack, he grabbed his helmet like, no, what did I do? He got Darnold initially up kind of around the collar, but then got up into the face mask. But there was no flag. It turns into a sack, and the Rams are up 10.
Audio courtesy of Westwood One. So I hate to try to put the magic back in the pan, but I have to. Because right before the show, I asked Lyman, I go, did you see that? And he goes, no. It wasn't right before the show. Lyman later saw the play.
Yeah.
And then you had said, well, I mean, it's a 10-point game. And then it dawned on you. And I looked at you like you had lobsters crawling out of your mouth because I just didn't understand the point you were trying to make. Whereas you were saying, what about this phantom? It should have been face mask.
It was.
What was the problem, though?
Yeah, it was as egregious a face mask as you will ever see in the NFL. The referee is staring right at it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the referee started to divert his eyes lower. I'm not sure why.
He diverted his gaze.
Gotta make sure they don't land on him too hard.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing they're always looking at.
Yeah.
And it was the clearest face mask you will ever see. And then you were telling me how, well, the fans, you know, didn't you say like, well, the fans have a right to be upset? And I'm like, you know, I don't watch football that way where I think the team where a call is missed in a situation like that.
I believe the scenario was, so many Vikings fans saying they got screwed.
Oh, yeah.
They were down 8 under 2 minutes coming out of their own end zone.
Yes.
There's no guarantee they were scoring on that drive. They had to go 95 yards.
Yeah, they would have gone the whole way. And furthermore, on roughing the passers and face mask calls, I don't think you deserve. It's not like you earned anything. The other team was going to sack you. They were clearly going to sack you. If it wasn't going to be him, it was going to be somebody else.
He was unblocked.
Yeah, he was. It was a little bit more delayed.
Roughing the passer. Let me hear you out on roughing the passer. Face mask different.
Yeah,
face mask is different. Let me hear you out on roughing the passer.
I don't think like in this some magical world the Vikings did anything to earn anything, so I don't feel as bad for them. Like, yes, clearly a missed call, clearly should have been 15 yards, and the drive stays alive and they have a chance to win the game. But I can't imagine sitting there. And I do this all the time, whether it was the Browns, whether there have been games where I try to be as fair as possible. Like that Carolina game that Baker Mayfield was on Carolina, and we got the good fortune of a pretty cheap roughing the passer call. And I'm like, we didn't really deserve that. We didn't earn that. Same thing here. Like the Vikings didn't earn anything. So I don't really feel all that bad for them. Like it's a missed call. It sucks. But Darnold needs to get rid of the football earlier. And I don't think... I don't feel that bad that he wasn't rewarded for making a bad football play and not getting rid of the football.
He was waiting for someone to get open. I mean, he has to get the ball down the field. I don't understand why that's his fault. Yeah, why is that his fault that he got a face mask?
Well, he's in a desperation play.
Okay, and that's a bad desperation play.
And
that's a penalty.
I hate that teams are gifted stuff. Now, in this case, he should have been gifted 15 yards, but I don't feel bad. Vikings did not make a play.
I don't feel sad for the Vikings or anything, but it's an injustice. You understand that?
An injustice.
Yeah, to the letter of the law, the league, it's an injustice.
We should be out on the streets protesting
this. No, I said it's an injustice to the letter of the law of the league. Now, to the argument of what you're saying that you don't feel bad, which I don't feel bad either, because I don't care about the Vikings, but to that degree, so you wouldn't care. You would say, too bad, so sad. Doesn't matter if that happened to the Browns.
I'd say exactly what I said, and I'd get killed for it. But
I wouldn't want to kill you, but yeah.
He has 6 seconds to get rid of the football. It's a desperation play. They need miracles, and they need them quick.
That doesn't absolve the penalty. That doesn't absolve getting a face mask.
So
if you hold it for 6 seconds, they can do whatever they want to you?
No, I also think that... And
Hogan leg drops?
Yeah, this is my bigger point.
Flying elbows.
This is my bigger point here, is that fans... Every time there's a face mask and it's on their own player, when their own player is committing the act, they go, what an idiot. Oh, my God. I can't believe it's illegal. Does he not know? You can't. And I think we've learned through football, like, none of this is intentional. There's not an intentional face mask there. He can't believe he did it.
There's plenty of intentional face masks.
Afterwards, in this case, you're intentionally giving the other team 15 yards?
In certain cases, yeah. If I was on special teams, I'm trying to hold up a kick return. Yeah, I'm going to give him the time.
What about in this case? Was this intentional?
I don't.
Of course not. He's not gifting them 15 yards.
It happens. I mean, yeah, there's such a thing as inadvertent face mask, obviously, but it's still a penalty. It's a penalty.
I think what happens 95% of the time is you put your arms up in the air, and then it happens to be his level helmet reaches the exact same level as your hands.
And sometimes...
because you wouldn't want to give the other team 15 yards when their backs are against the wall.
Disarray afterwards with his hands on his helmet. He couldn't believe it.
Sometimes you go through an intersection when it turns red, and if a cop's there, he's going to pull you over. Or in this case, downtown right now, there are no stoplights, so it doesn't even matter. But sometimes it's up to that jurisdiction. They have to find it. They have to see it. So it's a missed call.
Totally, we agree on that.
So, but you're saying it's like, well, the Vikings don't deserve it because he held on to the ball for 6 seconds.
I'm saying that I don't feel
could have just tackled him.
I don't feel he tried to, and then like I said, his arms are at the same level of his helmet.
All right,
because all of a sudden you still pay a penalty.
Remember,
the quarterback is moving. The quarterback is not just a still target.
If I kill you, I go to prison. I don't just say, well, I didn't mean to kill him, officer.
But no, this is part of a bigger point, like helmet to helmet. When people lose their mind, it's like, oh, my God, do you know how fast that just happened? That quarterback moved into the exact same place that a diving player, and now their helmets are at the same plane. But the letter of the law is what it is. I understand that. Hold on. People watch slow motion instant replay, and they sit there, and they're like apoplectic. I can't believe the player did that. It's like, I can. Do you know how fast these guys are moving? Have you ever been on a football field? Have you ever seen these guys on an NFL field?
That I agree with, but the penalty is the penalty is the penalty.
Sure.
It must be called.
They missed the call, and what, they can't review that? That's not a reviewable thing?
Are Vikings fans right to feel like they've been suffered an injustice
here? Well, they were down in the game, so you can't say like the game was robbed from you. That's not the case.
Right.
But they're acting like the game was robbed, though.
That's how everyone's acting this morning.
Which is ridiculous.
No, I'm not going to say they were robbed.
If you are just... A lot of impartial viewers are saying they got robbed as well.
Like, at some point, Darnold has to get rid of the football. The longer the play goes, the more likely something really bad is going to happen, and something really bad happened.
I understand that, but I'm not going to... You weren't robbed. I mean, you had chances to do it. Like, that part, I totally disagree. Don't make it out to be... I'm saying that, no.
The Vikings did not go, let's run the play where we get face-masked.
Right. No, they weren't.
You're down by 8. It was a terrible missed call. But I don't think that you all of a sudden were robbed. You were robbed maybe the chance to tie it up, but you were in your own end zone. You had to go down the field.
Well, and
he held the ball for a long time, but...
Initially, I was like, well, why are you throwing out of the end zone? But there's a minute 40 left.
Desperate.
You have to.
Yeah.
They're desperate. In sports, like in situations like this in football, where there are missed calls, it's obviously the referee's looking right at it. So, yes, I'd be furious that they missed the call, but I wouldn't be sitting there and acting like my team was robbed of a victory, which is what I'm hearing today. And it's like, you were down 8. You would have had to score get a two-point conversion, and you had to drive 85 yards down the field after the penalty.
Well, then I can't believe we've come to some sort of common ground here, actually, in an argument, because, no, I'm not going to. I've never once thought at all this morning that they were robbed of. I think we might have been robbed of some drama.
Yes.
Of entertainment.
Yes.
But they're down by 8.
And if you gamble, I'm guessing what was Minnesota, what were they favored by? So gamblers who bet Minnesota would have needed Minnesota to take this game to overtime and score to have a chance.
Guessing,
so this is all part of the formula.
I'm guessing 5.5, 6, somewhere in there. I don't know. My line's been off crazy.
So I just in general, when there are missed personal fouls, even like the Greg Newsom gets stepped over and everybody wanted like a penalty on Jamar Chase. I'm like,
the line was Minnesota -2.5.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
There you go.
So gamblers are going to be furious. Yeah. Gamblers are going to be furious because they're thinking, hey,
they were 2-4 coming into that game. And Puka Nacua was a question mark and all this stuff about whether you're trading people is only 2.5.
Did Cooper Kupp play in that game?
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He caught a touchdown.
Okay. I only saw the end.
Well, they both played. Yeah, they both had decent games.
Yeah, that was all. I mean, gosh, it was the big story all week whether or not Puka Nacua was going to play.